Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you're hearing my voice, it's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor, get out in your backyard, and fire up a grill or a smoker. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Well, what's cooking? I think hops are cooking today, baby, because this show is all about home brewing. We are going to bring you in-depth technical knowledge, whether you've brewed before or you were just thinking about brewing. We have coming on, and the whole rest of the show is going to be all about Siciliano's Market and a fella by the name of John Palmer, who's written 3 books about brewing, and he's in studio. We're gonna get down and dirty.
Yeah, and if
hop it up.
Yeah, exactly. Let's hop to it. But if you've never home brewed before, don't turn this show off, because you're going to learn some things that might get you interested, because it isn't just for nerds. There's a lot of fun and a lot of excitement going on around this. As we all know, the craft beer scene across America is exploding, and it generally all started with homebrewers that are taking their craft to the next level, and it's really caught on. Barbecue Bob and I are huge craft brew fans. I remember when we first started this show, Bob, I was that Labatt Light drinker, if you remember
that.
You
can bring it up. That's okay.
Right, and I was like, craft beer, oh, it's too bitter. Oh, it's too strong. I had 9 reasons why it wasn't any good, right?
In his last house, he had a gorgeous bar in the basement, and I'd bring beer over. And I'd say, you know, can I put it in the fridge? Yeah, I'd open up the fridge, and there's like Coors Light, which is cool. That's a pool beer for us.
Right.
And then Labatt's Light.
Right.
And I'm like putting my whatever it was at the time, Whitson, Oberon, something in there. And
I started
busting his chops. And after about a year or two, he kept trying more and more. And the next thing you know, we're doing this radio show, and he's like buying craft beers all the time. And then I got a chance to chide him on, you know, drinking the Natty Lights.
Right, which is why we ended up at Siciliano's, because as you'll hear later in the show, Siciliano's Market, hopefully you have one like this in your area, wherever you're listening. But in our area, this is a specialty purveyor of beer, wine, spirits, and cigars. It is like the man store. I introduced a guy to the store last week. I'll take a little rabbit trail here, but we just finished up an outdoor kitchen, right? We put a nice addition and an outdoor kitchen on a guy's house here, and his grill and his smoker sat there for 11 days unused after we polished it up and handed it off because he was intimidated by it. And I'm not calling him out on this. He just had never used either the smoker, or we had a big 42-inch gas grill, 5-burner, searing, the whole deal. We put it in there. So last Saturday, I went out and I worked with him to get him comfortable on his new equipment. But before we went there, we went to our favorite butcher shop, spent a couple $100 on meats so we had something to grill. And then I said, well, if you're this close to the butcher shop, you got to wheel by the best man store in West Michigan, and it's Siciliano's Market. He walked in there, 3 cases of beer, bottle of booze, and a half a dozen cigars, and he's like, how did I not know this place was here? I'm like, hey, I don't know, man, but this is how the Grilling Guys roll, right? We're going to go to a meat market, get custom-cut meats. We're going to go to our favorite man store and get our booze and our cigars. So
no tofu?
No tofu today, Bob.
That sounds like a pretty good, successful trip.
It was, and that's where I get my craft beer, mm-hmm. right? Is if our sponsors aren't giving it to us, then we're going to Siciliano's to buy it.
Well, I find that I go there and buy it even if they do give it to us, because
sure.
I have so many hounds at my house
right.
that we just tend to decimate the beer stuff.
Right, and it's always just a sample because we got to follow the liquor laws and all the stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, a great place if you're listening in West Michigan and you don't know, you're going to find out more about it during the show.
Yeah, that's right. So had an interesting week. You know, I'm in this housing project, and I'm living in my basement. I'm a dorm rat, and it's everything in our house is dusty. There's sand. There's drywall dust. So we got ourselves barricaded in the lower level to walk out. And it's to the point where, you know, the carpet's even, like, almost accumulating. My wife keeps vacuuming, and Olivia keeps vacuuming. But, I mean, it's everything is trashed. But we're coming to a point where we can see some progress because the roofers are there right now as we speak.
Right.
The last little touches are getting put on the roof. But I spent last Saturday and Sunday tearing off old sections of the remaining house.
In the roof.
Blistering heat, yeah.
Yeah,
the roof. And rebuilding it.
Well, and if anybody saw those pictures on Facebook that you were posting, if they're following you, you had the roof off the thing. I mean, it was open air house on that whole upper floor.
Yeah. Two walls.
Right. Yeah, there was two walls left of the upper level of the house.
It got carried away. We were just going to put a new roof on.
Right. Yeah.
It's like going to the supermarket hungry.
Yeah, don't do it, right?
It's like coming in here thirsty. The good news is these guys brought some home brews. Yeah. So we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, we are already in good shape, Bob, because we're tasting a little bit of this, and we're going to get into this in the next segment.
Yeah, that went down pretty quick.
You were feeding the contractors. Did you do any more of that this week?
You know what I did Sunday? The county youth fair is in my little town, and every year I feed all the volunteers. So I went out there Sunday, and I'm roofing Sunday, right? I'm sweaty, dirty. I got to hook up my trailer, quit, shower off real quick, try and throw everything in the car. I get there, and slaughterhouse usually donates meat, and it's like a grab bag. So I get there, and I've got cases of whole chicken breasts, and I'm really pushing the time anyway because I didn't really leave myself any wiggle room.
Really? You?
Yeah. Come on. No, I didn't. I thought I was a half hour early. As it turns out, I should have been even an hour earlier than that because I had to cut all this chicken up.
Oh, so, you're kidding
me.
So I'm
spending like an hour chopping chicken.
They gave you no favors
and,
there.
I barely got the food out on time, but I fed about 400 people, I think.
Yeah, you had your big toe behind smoker there, and I saw a couple ABS. Pictures of it with the doors open and every rack's full of chicken halves.
Yard
and,
bird.
Yeah, and it was just rolling through there, and smoke was going.
They brought me a case of hot dogs and said, yeah, you got to do these too.
Yeah, because the kids don't
like,
eat chicken,
well, I'm
right?
I'm smoking hot dogs.
Yeah, exactly. What else are you going to do with those, right?
They turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
So, that was my weekend.
Yeah, good. I did a similar. I had a children's fair that I cooked for. And that was 600 hot dogs, and we had cold weather, and half the people left when it sprinkled a little bit. And so what do you do with 300 leftover hot dogs? Well, we were able to give them away to a charity, and they were able to use them.
Did you smoke the hot dogs?
I did. That's what made me think of it. Yeah, because there's no turning. You just put them on the rack, close the door, and, you know, voila, 45 minutes later, you've got smoky hot dogs. And now that smoker that I have, when you open the damper, there's more heat in the back than there is in the front. So the hot dogs, about the first inch and a half of them were black. Yeah, because that heat was coming up the back. It's like, oh, shouldn't have put them quite that far back. But anyway, you know,
there's a key to that. I forgot to tell you, don't push those racks all the way to the back.
Well, thanks. There's rocket science right there.
You're
because
late.
I'm about 200 hot dogs late on that advice. But anyway, it all worked out. But coming up next, we do have John Palmer coming with us. And he's going to talk a lot about the brewing of science and the art and a little bit of the fun. And the guy has written three books. He's in from California, and he's going to share with each of us the art and the science of home brewing. And if you have ever thought about doing this, this is when you want to tune in, because you know what? You're going to get an education unlike any other that we have. If you're not a home brewer, just go pop one open, sit back, and listen up, because if nothing else, you're going to be able to have some great conversation points when you're at the next deck party or you're at the next barbecue, and you're going to learn a little tidbit here about home brewing, and you can throw some questions out, and people are going to be like, damn, this person knows what they're talking about. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hit that bank and we can ease on in. Soak us up a little moonlight. You know I know what you like, yeah. All them other boys wanna wind you up and take you down.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob and I are going to take a back seat to some experts, and we've had the opportunity to invite some people in today. And Barbecue Bob, take it away, brother.
Well, I think we're going to let Mr. Steve Siciliano set up the scene here because being a good friend of the show and a sponsor, contributor, and, of course, our favorite beer guy, he came up with this idea. So, Steve, just tell us how this all happened and the relevance you see here. To
Maybe a month and a half ago, I got an email from Christy Switzer, who is the publisher of Brewers Publications, and had formed a relationship with Christy in the past, and she asked me if we'd be willing to help put an itinerary together for John Palmer, because he's promoting his new book. And it took me about 2 seconds to say yes. And so Christy and I were emailing back and forth, and we put this together. And you know what, guys? One of the things I thought of right off the bat was your show. I thought that would just go fantastic with your show. And knowing the type of guy John Palmer is and knowing the type of guys you are, basically beer lovers, I thought it fit right in. So
well,
that's why
absolutely
we're here.
Does.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Jop sent me a text. You actually filled in for me a month or so ago when I was in Montana or something.
Yeah.
And I think you guys talked about this idea, and Jop sent me a text as soon as you got done doing the show going, okay, put this in your book.
Yeah.
This guy's coming in.
Right. I'm glad it worked out.
That's
and,
cool.
I can't wait for John to get on the air and talk about all his knowledge.
He's
just a great guy.
So with no further ado, John Palmer, a Midland native.
Yes. Yep. Grew up in Midland and graduated from Michigan Tech.
Now a SoCal boy.
Yeah. Now been living in Southern California for about 27 years now. And I went out there originally for aerospace after I graduated. Did that for quite a while. But home brewing was my first real hobby. You know, you get married, realize you need a hobby. And there it was.
Well, brewing makes marriage easier. I'm a firm believer of that. So I can see where that natural connection happened. But
I don't get the whole get married and you need a hobby part.
Right.
I don't know about that. I thought that.
That's what man caves are for, Bob, and finished garages, right?
Yeah.
That's,
okay, now I see the time.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Right?
Exactly. It justifies all the other expenses.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you went to Michigan Tech, and you go out to California, and we're in Michigan is where the show is broadcast out of, but we're all over the country. And so tell me about the craft beer scene in California, because we here in Michigan, especially West Michigan, we call ourselves Beer City USA, and there's a huge movement here. And what took you to California was the work, but is there a big brewing scene out there as well?
Oh, there is, yeah. West Coast IPAs are actually not Michigan's West Coast, as you would imagine, but California.
That's a style.
Yeah, it's a style of beer with a lighter malt body and a little heavier hopping. That's been going strong for a long time. I moved out there in '88 when the big beer on the market was Corona, just debuted, and Bud Ice and Bud Dry were mainstays. And I longed for the darker, richer beers that I had had here in Michigan. So that's what got me into home brewing way back when.
So West Coast IPA, is there a blend of hops that's prevalent for a West Coast IPA?
Like sure, maybe yeah.
Citra and Cascade, something like that?
Yeah, Cascade was like the original craft beer hop. And then there was a few other sea hops, as we call them, Chinook, Centennial, then Citra came along, and that's a relatively new one. I guess, early, mid-2000s, that debuted.
Incredibly popular, though.
Yeah, very nice tropical fruit overtones to it. Really blends well with Cascade and Centennial, giving a nice, more tropical edge to the citrusy character of
hops. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking with John Palmer, author of several books, his latest, How to Brew. Is that your latest?
Yes,
the latest edition. Did I say that properly? Because you have like three of them here, so we want to get into those books a little bit later, but that's quite an accomplishment, three books on brewing. And Siciliano's Market, of course, carries all your books and probably sells a ton of them. Yep. So that's good to know. I don't think of things like that. When I go in there, I just head to the beer aisle. one of six beer aisles. I don't know how many there are there. And then I head into the humidor and grab... But that whole brewing side is just, it's huge for them.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a great hobby to get into.
So, John, when you started brewing, where did you start with regard to a variety of beer or a style of beer? If somebody were just thinking about doing this, where do we enter?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about it is that brewing is a process like cooking. So you guys, of course... barbecuing, once you learn the basic concepts of barbecue, you can start applying that to any cut of meat. Then learning what makes more advanced techniques and different cuts of meat work well. Well, it's the same in brewing. You start out with some basic beers like a pale ale or a brown ale, very easy beers to brew. Stouts are another easy category. But, once you master the basic techniques on doing the boil, adding your hops, and fermenting the beer, which is actually the really important part. Once you've mastered those, now you can go on and brew any style of beer you want. Anything you can buy in the store, you can brew at home.
So let me ask you then, why is it the browns and the stouts are more forgiving? What makes them easier? Higher sugar?
No, actually. It's the heavier flavors of brown ales and stouts imparted by what we call specialty malts. These are the darker caramel, toasted, roasted, coffee-like flavors. Those flavors help mask some of the beginner mistakes, the little off flavors that occur during fermentation. Makes them a little more forgiving style.
John, let me take a step back. For those that don't know, what are the three or four ingredients that are in beer? Because you just kind of mentioned a few of those, and maybe our listeners aren't familiar with all the ingredients that are in that beginner beer.
Sure. Beer is composed of four main ingredients. You have your malt, which is barley, and malt just refers to the fact that it's allowed to sprout briefly before they dry it out and save it for the brewer. You have your malts. You have your hops, which are the bittering and the seasoning that go in the beer. You have the yeast, which controls the fermentation. And there's actually, of those three ingredients, the malt, the hops, and the yeast,
those impart the bulk of the flavors to the beer. You can brew different beers just by varying any one of those ingredients.
The quantities.
Yeah.
How long you steep, how long.
Yeah, all those factors.
Because the malts actually create all the sugar, right?
The malts create the sugars that the yeast ferment mm-hmm. into alcohol and carbon dioxide, yes.
Yeah, so the fourth ingredient's water?
Fourth ingredient's water.
Right.
And water is very important, too, and I'm kind of a specialist on water. Water, the minerals in the water impart the seasoning to the beer, just like when you salt your food. Very same principles. The pH that gets imparted to the beer controls the expression of those beer flavors to your palate. So water affects pH, which affects the expression of the flavors as well.
So here in West Michigan, we've been told we have great water for beer making, which is why we produce some of the greatest beers that we do. But is there a portion of our city here, a large portion, is on a water system where the water is chlorinated or
sure.
and is,
over
can you,
chlorinated.
Right. Can you yeah. can you use that water and make good beer, or is that a no-no?
Oh, yeah, you can. You have to treat it, and that's part of what the water book gets into is water treatment. But essentially when you're working with a tap water source that's chlorinated, you need to remove that chlorine either through activated carbon filtration, which many people have in their home, or other chemical means such as sodium metabisulfite tablets, otherwise known as Camden tablets. You put those in the water. That neutralizes the sulfide.
So you're testing your water before you brew it. You're getting your water balanced out before
yes.
you even start your brew.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, on the next segment, we should talk about the equipment that you need.
Sure.
Because I think people that always say they wanted to try brewing might think it's cost prohibitive, and I think they'd be shocked to see how cheaply you can actually start brewing.
Oh, yeah. It's beer. Easy to get into and...
You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Brewing Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Echoes of angels who won't return. He's everything you want. He's everything you need. He's everything inside of you that you wish you could be. He says all the right things.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
With The Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt and it's a mittful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see The Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're getting out in your backyard, firing up a grill or a smoker. Create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. We are talking all about home-brewed beer. And we've got a couple experts in the studio with Barbecue Bob and I, so we're going to let them keep this education train going. What you thinking, Bob?
Yeah, I'm thinking that Mr. Siciliano needs to give me a little more of that Saison and tell us, please, who brewed this beer? That is fantastic.
I'm going to give the bottle to John. He can fill you up.
Not that one. We already drank that one.
Here we go.
So who brewed this?
One of my employees, Mark Iacopelli, brewed the pail that we had previously and the Saison that we're drinking now. And if you guys are really good today, I'm going to let you try his lambic. It's a gold award-winning gold medal lambic that he took a gold medal in the Siciliano's competition a couple years ago.
You have to bring him to deer camp as well.
I think we might destroy him. He's too young.
Well, let's talk a little bit with you first about the equipment, because you sell a lot of brewing equipment.
We do, and in the previous segment, I think Jot mentioned that it's really not very expensive to get into the hobby of home brewing. We have a couple of kits that we like starting folks on. One is it's $105. It's called a basic brewing kit. Includes pretty much all your basic equipment. Then we have another one for $135, and the main difference between the two is the higher price kit comes with a 5-gallon brew pot, which you need. If you're a guy at home and your wife will let you use a brew pot or one of your pots to brew, that's fine. But if not, we suggest the higher price kit. So, and again, not very expensive. Equipment lasts a long time unless you drop the glass carboys. Hopefully not with beer in it. I've heard those horror stories before, and I'm sure John can attest to that.
Right.
Oh, I've heard some horror stories in brewing.
Well, Jop's putting a whole new kitchen in my house, okay?
So, Jop is?
Yeah. Okay. My range, I got at Garrett's just a few years ago, but sure. We're going to get a bigger one. So that one that I've got is really good.
Ooh.
That baby's going in the garage.
That's right. Beautiful.
I'm
that's
setting beautiful. Myself up for beautiful. Retirement.
All right. Yep. He's never going to leave the garage. He's going to have big hairy beard and all this other stuff. He's just be sitting in there brewing beer all day.
Got divorced 5 years ago, but I got the garage.
I can see you putting a 6-tap kegerator out there.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
There we go. Yeah, one of those freezers, those keezers, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Steve, people can get into the hobby here of brewing, but the equipment is just part of it. Then the ingredients are the other part, and that's where John comes in, is that walk us through the basic ingredients, if you will. We talked about a little bit in the last segment, but
sure.
What is the let's start with the water, because you said you're some sort of a water scientist, and sure. How does the average guy know if his water's good or not?
Well, there's any water can brew good beer. A couple key things though are getting the chlorine out, and you can do that with carbon filtration. You can also do it by adding Camden tablets to the water, and that kind of neutralizes the chlorine before
you brew. So those filters do work, actually?
Oh, yes.
Carbon?
Yep.
Nice.
And from there, you look at your ingredient kit. Now, Siciliano's and other homebrew shops, they all sell kits where you have malt extract, which is the concentrated sugars from the malt that you can just add to water in the pot. Some steeping grains to give a little extra flavor and color to the beer, and your hops, and then you can add your yeast.
You know, I think you might agree or disagree, but this might be one of those things where having the professionals in your neighborhood or in your town that you can go to, in this case Siciliano's,
yep.
is really, this is one of those times when you might not be an online shopper, because you really want to be careful on your barley, your malts, yeasts, your product. You want to look your product over if you're buying it.
Yeah.
I suppose if you get into bigger systems, you can buy the big stainless stuff and whatever over
oh,
the
sure.
internet.
But you know, having that initial contact with your local homebrew supply store mm-hmm. is the best way to get started, because
right. there's experts there.
Yeah. They know how to brew. They can help you understand the kind of kit that you want to brew for your first batch. They can give you pointers on, you know, every step of the process. I get emails all the time, brewers asking, you know, hey, my fermentation seems to have stopped. What do I do? And unless, you know, you're there and able to really carry on a full conversation, it can be kind of hard to figure that out. But that's what the local homebrew supply shop can help you with.
Awesome. I don't mean to beat the water to death, but I think it's such a key to successful brewing, as sure. I understand it. What about our well water guys, the ones where the sprinkler turns the side of the house orange when it hits it, and because it's loaded with iron, or the one where your faucet sprayer calcifies because and starts spraying in all directions because there's too much calcium in the water? What do those guys do?
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up. Calcium and magnesium are what make water hard, and hard being that scale that forms on your plumbing.
And I have calcium.
Yeah. Calcium and magnesium are good for brewing. They're very beneficial to the fermentation reactions, a lot of the biochemistry that goes on.
Okay, freeze frame. So I have a water softener.
Yeah.
And I have outdoor sprinklers that I did not put through the softener. If I was brewing, would I use the unconditioned water?
Yes.
Double as a shower for you, Bob.
Generally,
you stand out there with your bucket, and about every 3 seconds it goes by, or are you running back and forth chasing the sprinkler? Which way are you doing it?
Yeah, generally you want the unsoftened water, but the iron is the big differentiator here. Iron in beer tastes horrible.
Yeah.
It has a blood-like flavor. Then you can taste it in the water. And basically, if your water doesn't taste good, the beer won't taste good. You need to get the chlorine out, which is something you really don't taste too much, although it can taste like a swimming pool. But the iron, any small part of iron that you can taste, you're going to taste that in your beer.
I bought my property because my water tastes so good.
Good.
But there's calcium.
Calcium is no problem.
That's not going to hurt it.
Not a problem at all. You
so
want
use
that.
Use the water pre-water softener. Then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
If you get too much sodium in the water as from a water softener, the beer can take on a metallic taste.
So this book I'm holding in my hand, it is monster. It's How to Brew. Everything you need to know to brew great beer every time. I definitely want to buy one of these because I think this would be good to read a few times in advance of...
All
right. I knew it would work.
Pandering.
I think it would be good to read a few times in advance of even starting brewing. This should first thing you buy.
Yes.
So that you can at least go through it and get a basic understanding before you try your first brew.
Well, chapter one is designed to walk you through the brewing process. Boiling the wort, adding your hops, cooling the wort, adding your yeast, fermentation. It walks you through that first batch.
What's a wort?
The wort is the term that we use for the sugar water, the barley sugar water.
Okay.
That you're going to ferment. We call that the wort. It's a German word. And then the later chapters get into each of all the details of the brewing process. So I've set it up. So that, you can ease into it, read chapter one, brew that first batch, kind of get familiar with what's going on, and then you can start digging into important topics like sanitation, yeast management, pitching rates, different types of yeast, all the different, there's
wet hopping, dry hopping.
Oh, yeah, all those things. All that's covered in the book.
Aromatics. Yeah. Cool. It's a big book, and it's beautiful. The cover makes me want to start brewing today.
It's
if I didn't have
fun.
A house project on my hands, I might.
Right. Well, that's is this a seasonal thing? I was just about to say, right. Well, you know what? The winter's coming up, Bob. You'll be shut in with the Michigan winter. Maybe that's a great time to brew, but it's a year-round thing, isn't it?
It is. But you do need cool fermentation temperatures, and fermentation is a very significant part of the process. We probably should talk a little bit more about that later.
Well, coming up. We're going to ferment. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Yeah, she was sipping on Southern and singing Marshall Tucker. We were falling in love in the sweetheart of summer. She hopped right up into the...
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, if you're just tuning in, this is all about microbrew beers and home brewing, specifically a topic which I'm not an expert on, but we have some of them in the studio. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. Where are we going, man?
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for joining the show. If you have not checked out our website, go to thegrillingguys.com. And if you want to podcast the show, go up in the top right corner. You'll see a headset. Click on it. We'll send this show right to your device. And you can take our lovely vibes all over the world. There are people from all over the country that podcast it and stream the show. You can stream it live. You can actually pick up the show after the fact and just download it. So like if you're a guest on the show like these guys, you can download the MP3. We just work that hard to bring you barbecue and beer.
And it's all about beer today. And this is part of the show where I like the most is that I'm going to step away from the microphone, drink a little beer, and let the experts do their deal.
Sounds good. And on the live line right now, we've got a fellow named Jason Stairs, who is co-owner from Garden State Beer Company in New Jersey. And he holds a PhD, so we've got all sorts of highfalutin, high-degreed chemists in this show today. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So how exciting to get a New Jersey brewer out here. I love New Jersey. One of my good friends is Paul, and he's the president of the New Jersey Broadcasters Association. He's on the show from time to time, but we're on the big WOND out there, and your voice will be heard there right now.
Excellent. That's great.
So why don't you say hello to John Palmer, who's written How to Brew, and maybe you even want to buy this book.
Oh, geez. I have already... I had no idea I was going to be on with John Palmer, so I'm sort of shocked and a little starstruck. I read all your books and
thank you.
Just everything you've done for homebrewing and getting everybody started. You were the first book that I got that got me started was How to Brew.
Oh, that's really cool. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Very, very, very cool. You're so accomplished, and Jason is as well. So you've got a brewery called Garden State Beer. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so... I went through school. I got the PhD in chemistry. I tell my kids I went to 21st grade. It was a lot of school. I ended up, because they don't understand what it means, so that puts it in perspective for them. But I ended up getting a job and working, actually work for the government for Homeland Security, but I'm at a point where I basically write a lot of emails and go to meetings, and that's not why I went to 21st grade and got that PhD. So my fingers started to get itchy, and I bounced a couple ideas off my wife. She rejected the first one wholeheartedly, and then I walked away and came back and said homebrewing, and she said okay to that. And like I said, I went and got John's How to Brew book and started from there, and I was
able to apply all
of those lab skills to brewing, and it proceeded to now I have a brewery that's been open about a year and a half.
Nice.
And this isn't a setup. I mean, I didn't know this before he came on. I didn't ask him this. That what a small world it is.
Yeah, true coincidence.
It is awesome.
Oh yeah.
So, when did you start home brewing?
I started home brewing probably about 6 years ago.
And you already have a brewery.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it took 4 years to open that, and we've been open for about a year and a half. So, the home brewing with the quality information that John's put out there in a number of his books, including his work on water chemistry, which I pay some particular attention to.
Thanks.
I was able to just pick up all of those basics and put my lab skills to use, and we were off and running.
That's very good. Yeah, opening a brewery is a big step. It's a lot of work and a lot of investment, but congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks very much. Sometimes I wonder what I'm doing, but...
Jason, obviously you've got this down if you're accomplished enough to open a brewery. Tell us your number one and number two beer at the brewery.
Our number one beer that is the fan favorite is our Blue Jersey American Wheat, which is just a nice, easy drinking
that style.
Lighter beer with a touch of blueberry flavor and a nice nose on it.
Nice.
At the brewery in general, our motto is beer for everyone. So a lot of breweries that open now go right to all IPAs, and there's people that like that, and that has its place. Sure. I'm a hophead myself, but I felt like there was a lot of people who said that they didn't like beer because their choices were IPAs or, you know, the domestic breweries. So
Labatt.
We range from the lawnmower beers at the easy drinking end all the way up to we have an Imperial IPA called Nucky's Imperial IPA, which is 9%. And calculate it to be about 200 IBU, which I know is probably not physically possible, but that's what the calculation says.
But sure, yeah.
But he broke his meter.
That's the beautiful thing about brewing is that there are over 150 different styles of beer. So even if you think that you don't like beer, chances are that there is a beer out there that you will like.
Absolutely.
You just got to go to the local brewery like Jason's and check them out.
And Jason, I think that's a brilliant idea to have the blueberry. We have a place in West Michigan called Odd Sides. They do a blueberry wit. And the combination of blueberry and beer is just fantastic. They float some fresh blueberries on top when they serve it to you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we do that in the during the season as well, put it in as a little garnish. And yeah, we have a wit as well called Pop's Wit that I put some apple juice into it that gives it some different qualities.
Nice.
It seems to be quite popular. But yeah, talking about people and all the different styles of beer, when somebody comes in, usually they'll have a friend sometimes that says, oh, I don't like beer, and that immediately gets my antenna up, and I say, really?
Challenge.
It's a challenge, right, and then it's great when they go, wow, that is good, and then every once in a while you get the person that just doesn't like that fermented taste, and that's an acquired taste that they'll have to practice on.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're talking live with Jason Stairs, who's actually a PhD and a brewer. I feel like such a schmuck job. All I do is make barbecue sauce. Anyway, you are where in New Jersey?
We are right outside of Atlantic City, about 10 miles outside of Atlantic City in Galloway, New Jersey.
Galloway, okay. I go to AC a couple times a year. I'm definitely going to check you out when I'm out there. And your website, of course, is what?
We have a website at GardenStateBeerCo.com. Just starting a brewery, it's not the best website. We priorities. But we are on Facebook, and that's where we put most of our current information up on Facebook and Instagram at GardenStateBeer.
Garden State Beer. And for people who aren't familiar with New Jersey, Paul Rotella comes on the show about every couple of months, and he sells the state of New Jersey on the network. There's no better spokesman. But a lot of people have the wrong impression of New Jersey, and they call it a garden state for a reason. There, you really do produce a lot of produce out of that state. So I'm guessing you're using local blueberries.
Yeah, we are about 20 minutes from Hamilton, the blueberry capital of the world. Fields and fields of blueberries there, and yeah, all throughout South Jersey. I can't speak so much for North Jersey. I don't get up there as much, but in South Jersey, a lot of farmland and sweet corn and tomatoes and Jersey fresh.
And how about hops?
Hops. There are some local people starting to get into producing malt and hops, but that is just getting started. Sort of, there's been this wave of new breweries we've had. The breweries are exploding out in Jersey, and
great.
The maltsters and the hop farmers are following.
That's fantastic. John Palmer, would you like to say anything to Jason here before we close?
Well, I just wanted to offer you congratulations on getting your brewery started. And I wanted to kind of get you to second me on the fact that it really is easy to get started in home brewing. You don't have to be a PhD to do it. Is that right?
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, and most so we're friends with some of the local other breweries that are around, and they come from all stripes of former HVAC technicians, former bank tellers, plumbers, et cetera. Yeah,
even a hot tub guy.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And that's another fun aspect of the hobby is that you can design some of your own brewing systems and chillers and equipment. Makes it a lot of fun, too.
Oh, I love to see. So some of those people do have backgrounds in engineering, and they make all their own equipment, and we've done that. We've built our system from the ground up, and it's great to see how people are pulling that all together.
Jason, we got to close now, but I can't wait till I get back into AC. I'm going to look you up, and I hope you have some fresh blueberries when I get there.
I hope so. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, Jason Stairs from Garden State Beer, Atlantic City.
Coming up. We might talk about a great pill.
But I'm going to be where the lights are shining on me. Like a rhinestone cowboy. Riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Now you're
today's man law has nothing to do with beer. Under no circumstances shall a man ever defer control of the television remote to a female, unless it's your mom.
Word up. That's it right there, baby. John Palmer, I want to talk a little bit about beer temperature when it's served.
Sure.
A lot of opinions on that. What's yours?
Well, I think a good general rule of thumb is that the darker the beer, the warmer you can drink it. That has to do a little bit with the amount and type of flavors that are there in the beer. Dark beers, as you warm them up, a little more of those flavors open up. And you can taste the different specialty malts that went into that beer. The paler beers with a very singular but bright malt profile, like your Pilsner, those should be drank a little bit cooler. And you know, ice-cold beer is, well, that's only suitable for, like, Coors Light, where there's
which
not...
Which is great ice-cold.
Which is great ice-cold.
When you're in a hot, hot climate.
Right. But if you're, you know, drinking a true Czech Pilsner or a Munich Helles or other, you know, pale styles that have more malt flavor and more hop flavor going on, warming the beers up a little bit and, you know, say 45 degrees, 50 degrees are good for pale ales and so on. That allows all the flavors in the beer to be expressed better to your palate and to your nose, and you get, you know, much more flavor out of the beer.
And, you know, wine, cheese, a lot of things are that. The colder that a food or something is that you taste, the more your taste buds shut down, I feel. And
you
get less, you don't pick up the tones. Like when people want their beer ice cold, well, those people are drinking like Natty Light or something like that. It should be ice cold.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's just formaldehyde, basically.
Yeah, we were talking about IPAs earlier, and IPA is another style that shouldn't be drank extremely cold.
Right.
Because that really intensifies the bitterness. If you allow it to warm up, and I'm not saying really warm, like room temperature, but, you know, 50, 55 degrees Fahrenheit, that allows that bitterness to mellow a bit.
That's the best tip right there of the whole show, in my opinion, is the drinkability and which beers to let warm up and which ones to drink cold, because it'll be a completely different feel on your palate and experience
if
that temperature is 10 degrees difference.
Right.
And how about like a cask?
Cask beer?
Yeah.
Cask beers are less carbonated, so the warmer temperatures, again, help those flavors reach your palate and open up that with the lower carbonation. High carbonation really helps drive the flavors to the palate.
How about nitros?
Nitros, again, a little warmer. Nitrogen kind of mimics the cask style, where you've aerated the beer and softened the beer at a lower carbonation. That's what the nitrogen takes the place of. So a little warmer, more flavor.
John Palmer, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
We need to give a little shout out to GI Barbecue, Jop.
GIBarbecue.com. We're headed out to Camp Pendleton to deliver our next load of barbecue to the troops. Go on GIBBQ.com and help us out. We still need some trucking expense to be covered, but everything else is ready to go, and we got the green light. So,
well, and I think we won't be too far from John when we're out there, so the beer should be covered.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, speaking of covered beer, our friends at Schmoe's Brewery are having an open house and a parking lot party on August the 19th. If you're in the greater Grand Rapids area on that date from noon to 7, music, barbecue, and, of course, some great beers. Steve, thank you so much. Siciliano's Market, been a great supporter of our show and a longtime partner. John Palmer, thanks for making time. Where can people find your books?
Every homebrew shop around and most bookstores.
All right. And the Bible is How to Brew by John Palmer. You've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We'll see you next week.
I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston.